Hey, idiots. Wow. Hey, Gillies.
Hey, guys.
We got a live show coming up that we wanted to plug right before our podcast show. It's called
Gilmore Guys Live,
a Stars Hollow Town Meeting.
Why did we have to say that together?
I don't know, but I almost said girls instead of guys. That was my...
That would have been a mistake.
My bad. Gilmore Guys Live, a Stars Hollow Town Meeting, which is still difficult for me to say, is going to be April the 27th at the UCB Sunset Theater here in Hollywood, California. Los Angeles, California, but specifically Hollywood, California. It's at 7 p.m. and tickets will be $5 a piece. Just $5.
What?
Yeah.
One Lincoln?
Yeah. And then like there's like a $1 online fee. But... It's basically
what five one bucks. George Washington.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. So we hope to sell it out, because if we do, there's a possibility we get to do more shows like that in the future, there and maybe some other places across the country. Who knows?
So who's to say?
So check it out. Buy a ticket if you're in the area. If you're not in the area, drive or fly or swim.
Take a plane, a train, or an automobile.
So
all right?
Let's do it. Gilmore Guys Live, a Stars Hollow Town Meeting, and we'll see you there.
And maybe you'll see a special guest.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta get... We really should book it.
I can't... We've run out.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, dang.
We're gonna screw it up. hey, you guys seen this stuff in the news about ISIS? They need to cut it out.
episode 3.
It's the swan song. Also pie 314. That's math. Yeah.
Hashtag math.
Hashtag Miss Math.
Swan song. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so many episodes called Swan Song, by the way,
there
of TV
are.
Shows. There's a lot.
It's crazy that you said Swan Son because of...
Did I say Swanson?
Well, you... I thought you did.
Oh, kind of. Maybe.
Song.
Oh, there's a connection
there's
there.
There's a connection.
We'll explore later. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are...
The Gilmore Guys.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys.
It looked like Demi was holding his mug up, and I felt bad that we weren't like clinking something together.
I can't reach that far. Don't worry.
Yeah, you
can. Oh my God. You spilled water on my laptop.
Did I?
Oh, it's not that much. Whatever.
Oh, no. Shoot.
No.
Off to a beautiful, perfect start to this episode. Guys, this is a fun ep. It's a great ep, I would say. And let's rate it right now. Just kidding. And we have a special guest for it. So let's stop. Do we have any business to attend to? We can talk about ATX Festival. That's very exciting.
Do we have anything to say?
No. But other than it's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, confirmed? Confirmed that it's exciting?
I will confirm that it is exciting.
Liza Wah, Scott Patterson, Keiko, they're all going to be there.
Jared, not Milo.
Not Milo. He's holding out. I wonder about that, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
But in the meantime, let's stop dicking around and introduce our guest and the reason we're all here today. Our guest.
La, 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 la.
Special guest. Ooh, that was a toughie for me. Good grief. Well, you know this woman from Parks and Recreation. You know her from her book, Science for Her. And you know her, of course, from Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Megan Amrin.
Yay.
Oh. Woo. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
You guys are so good at singing.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, kind of. We're good at pretending
have
to be good at singing.
Have you thought of singing an entire episode of this podcast?
Not
could that be
right
this
now.
Episode?
Oh, what maybe did you think? It is. It's already a bad idea. No, that would be a musical.
I just left to paint a picture for the audience.
Is there a musical episode of Gilmore Girls? No.
No, there's an episode that has a lot of music in it, but not like a Buffy thing where the whole thing is sung.
I have seen a clip. So just to give back, I haven't really watched Gilmore Girls, but I think I've seen all of the gayest clips. And I think I saw a clip that was like a Pippin song that they do at some point. There's like a school play and they sing Magic to Do.
Magic to Do, yeah. That's an episode title, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so truly that's like all of my... And I felt like this episode, not to skip ahead, it did have some good musical stuff to pull me in as a huge Broadway fan.
Okay. Oh, you are a huge Broadway fan?
I'm a huge Broadway fan.
Amy Sherman Palladino and Dan are very... influenced by Broadway stuff.
I saw Bunheads.
Oh, did you watch that?
I haven't seen Gilmore Girls, but I saw Bunheads.
Okay, this is interesting. This is the first.
I love Sutton. I'm a big Sutton head.
Yeah. Okay, so you watch that. You watch that show, but you've never seen Gilmore Girls, or you've seen clips.
Yeah, like parts of it. Yeah.
Parts of it, whatever. Yeah. But you were a Bunhead. That's what we call it.
I was a Bunhead head.
You were a Bunhead head.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, did you know we're doing a podcast after this called Bunhead Bros?
Bunhead
That's
Bros.
True. That's
oh?
true.
No.
Yes.
Yep.
That's true.
Sign me up.
Cool.
Yeah. Stacey's going to do it. We got Megan on board. Stacey, who played Truly on the show. Stacey Orsano. Yeah. Gosh, I keep doing that.
Starstruck.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be rad. Okay. But with Gilmore Girls, you have a little less experience. Had you ever seen a full episode all the way through?
Yes. I'd seen some of season one, and I liked it. I just have never really had the time. Why am I apologizing to you? I feel so guilty. I'm very Jewish.
We deserve it.
Yeah. No. I liked it. And I like so many of my friends are obsessed with the show. So this is also a huge deal.
Aisha Mahar, friend of the show, also.
Aisha, the best, knows way more than me. I already feel embarrassed for my friends who are obsessed with the show who are going to hear me on this and just like, be like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You know what? It's not that you're late to the party, but the fact that you showed up at all is commendable.
Oh my God.
Well,
thank you. Is that a quote from the show?
No.
Yeah, show
it's from
my life.
Not snappy enough.
I know. Wow. Vern, I'm getting notes.
I get the rhythm of the show, guys.
Okay. What was your note about the party?
Oh, I was saying, if you show up while they're cleaning, that's kind of rude. And if you show up too early, it's like, I guess you can help set up streamers. You showed up at the right time.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sort of a get to the party 3 minutes early. Just,
send
like,
your car.
They're ready, but they're not happy to see me. The host is not happy to see me.
Like, oh, hey, okay. Just wait around for a bit,
like,
maybe?
What are you up to? Yeah, just have a one-on-one conversation.
I'll just wait in my car for like 10 minutes when I show up.
I have a book of crossword puzzles in my car just in case I get to a party.
Is that true?
Yeah. Aren't I the worst?
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of the worst, let's get into the episode discussion.
Ooh.
That's not a good segue.
Great segue.
This is episode 314, Swan Song, which is a very common title. And kind of a pun based on things that happen in this episode. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's fun having not really seen any episodes because for all I know, swans are in every episode. I like
swans
just not
are
having...
Every, no swans are in every...
That was on accident.
Whoa.
Can we cut that out?
No.
I was trying to set up something else and that fucked up. All right.
That was awesome. I want to listen to the first part of the podcast we've done so far while we're talking about the other parts.
Oh, we should do like a commentary on it. We should play it back and listen to it and talk about it.
I think that some of the jokes on my part fell flat.
Oh, interesting.
What do you guys think about the podcast so far?
I think
I thought I was nailing it. I thought Megan did a great job of
I think it's been mostly for me personally. I've been trying to be very sincere. Not as many jokes. I just want to let you all in. So not as many opportunities to fall flat, like Demi did say about himself.
Right. Which we're not saying.
Demi did point it out.
And we don't want to confirm that. That's not the spirit of this show. We're not that kind of show.
No. Yeah, but he did say that about himself.
Right.
That is correct.
But so at any rate, the Netflix synopsis for this episode is
that's what I was trying to play.
Is
when she says Netfrax?
Netfrax. Oh.
See, okay. If I'd done it right the first time.
The synopsis of this episode is Lorelai goes away with her new boyfriend, Alex. Who cares? Who cares? It's not part of it. For a weekend in New York, but she worries about leaving Rory and Jess together because they might go to Pound Town. But they don't. Spoiler alert, they don't. Rory is super virginal, as usual, per usual. And let's get into this episode discussion. We get into every episode discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a little super cut, listen to them, judge them, analyze them, see what we can make of it. So this is episode 314, Swan Song, Pop Goes the Culture.
A fella. With or without an umbrella.
Andy Warhol did it all the time.
Get a clue, Columbo.
This crunch just now sounded like the drum fill in Baba O'Reilly.
The Holy Barbarians. I mean, what a title.
Rory and Jess?
No, Ben and J-Lo.
To top it off, the beatnik who wrote it is the father of the guy that does those actor studio interviews on TV.
The guy with the beard?
Yeah, the pointy beard.
Did you know that I once met the great Betty Davis?
Saw Hairspray last week.
I can't picture you watching Hairspray.
It's okay, I like the producers better.
What? You're Petey the dog.
But no way are we playing Creed, man.
Oh, no, of course not.
Or Amy Grant. That's where we draw the line.
It's like a Dean Martin. Roast.
Those are never funny to me.
Then we picked the same Dean Martin song on the jukebox 25 times and people started complaining, so we picked the Bee Gees, New York Mining Disaster, and they begged for Dean Martin back.
Old historic Manhattan.
So great.
Before Disney got a hold of it.
Except for Don Rickles.
Totally except for Rickles.
Give it a rest, Dr. Phil.
Kind of like what Elaine Stritch did on Broadway, but without the bitterness.
Well, if it doesn't have Encyclopedia Brown in the title, then narrows it down a lot. She's like Lyndon Johnson with the Senate. Effortless.
So not your Jonas sock necklace.
Marshall Stacks don't know Christians from atheists.
Does it act all peaceful and Bambi-like and then suddenly attack like the rabbit and Monty Python?
I saw Moose Murders. This stinks worse.
You're guaranteed a great Norma Desmond-style breakfast. And at the mercy of the orcs.
Is that you, Rhett?
Down to the Spice Girls necklace.
Hey, it's still early. Do you want to watch more of the extra supplementary stuff on the Lord of the Rings DVD?
No, just the drawings and that fat guy talking.
Well, let's watch Footloose again.
Yeah.
Quick comment on the Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah.
She didn't want to see Lord of the Rings before when they were at the book fair with Dean.
I know. It was a weird continuity thing.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Megan knows what we're talking about. We had her watch that episode.
I will say, they talk about the Spice Girl. We all heard the Spice Girl's necklace. But the follow-up to that was even crazier, which was her being like, you sure you don't want to wear your Jonas Salk necklace? It was something like that.
Yeah.
It was like, what the fuck? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I meant to put that in. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I failed to put that in. I was going to.
No, I don't mean to throw you under the bus there, but Spice Girls necklace, already pretty crazy.
Right.
My jaw dropped a little bit knowing that reached a television somehow. And then Jonas Salk is not even pop culture, just a science figure.
Yeah.
What does that necklace look like?
It's like just a gold microscope and pearls around it.
It stuck with me for hours of, is it a locket with his face in it?
That was your big takeaway from this episode, actually.
Yes.
What is that necklace?
I have 40 minutes on the Jonas Salk necklace of stand-up.
That'd be amazing.
Hearing that all together is...
It's a lot,
such
right?
Such a feast. Such...
It is, and kind of the range of it. Listeners couldn't tell, but when the Miss Patty clips came on, Megan gave a face of delight.
Yeah, gave some thumbs up.
Yeah.
So I really felt like the show hit its stride with Miss Patty. And don't know if there's any sort of spinoff that has been developed about this character who may or may not be in more than one episode.
Oh, she's definitely.
Yeah.
She's
then I gotta watch the show.
She's in more episodes than Michelle.
I wanna see a spinoff called Buckle Up, I'm Patty.
Buckle Up,
yeah,
I'm
that's
Patty.
Amazing. It's called Smash.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the prequel.
Buckle Up, I'm Patty.
so good.
I really fell into the show when she came on screen.
I mean, you talk about spinoff, but Bunheads was basically that.
Yeah, that's true.
Miss Patty is a dance instructor in the town of Stars Hollow.
This is such a great world. What a universe.
It's totally canon. It's Nick Cannon, Mr. Mariah Carey. If they had made it to season two of Bunheads, I bet... I hope Liz Torres or Miss Patty would have
if
shown
we
up.
Just wait long enough, every single TV show is going to be rebooted.
That is,
they're bringing back Coach.
Yeah, they're bringing back Coach.
That is inexplicable to me. I can't make heads or tails of it.
It's truly it's accelerating to such a rate that in a few years, Bunheads will be rebooted. And for sure. I cannot wait. I'm going to be in it.
What's your role going to be? Oh, this is a Gilmore Guys exclusive.
I'm playing every role.
Wow.
It is a one-woman show.
Nutty Professor style?
Yes. In fat suits.
Great.
It's the clumps. I will be...
I'm in.
I will be playing every role. It is me as the bun head.
The bun and the head.
Yes.
I've been thinking about what our cover art should be for that podcast.
The Bunhead Bros? Us and leotards.
Well, us and leotards, but should we have like Cinnabons on our heads too? You know what I mean?
Or is that too far? We should put our crazy long hair into buns.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
It's so cool seeing your hair. Yeah.
Yeah, people can't tell, but Demi did. He has grown it out to an exorbitant.
I'm going
to
take it out for the photo, though.
Yeah, of course.
It's my favorite part about podcasts is you can talk about... Like, I'm a baby.
Yeah.
What's crazy is I'm a 4-month-old baby. And you guys didn't know that until I just said it.
Yeah, isn't that weird? And just we just established that. And that's the reality.
Yeah.
No. I love talking about visual stuff on podcasts. For instance, your shoes are really cool.
That's true.
Thank you. They're my first pair of shoes. I'm a baby.
Yeah, because they're teeny tiny. And we'll have them bronzed after this podcast.
Yeah, they're so small.
Matt, thank you.
Now, the little baby's doing a handstand. Oh, that's so cute.
Oh. Let me wipe away some sweat. I did it. I feel like I'm really derailing this podcast.
No.
You know what?
I love it.
Compared to 304 and 109, this is on track.
There are way worse derailings.
Yes.
Did you guys get all the pop culture references? Because there was a good chunk that I'd never heard.
Half? More than half, I'd say. A little bit more.
I didn't
than
know
half.
Like moose murders. Was that what he said?
He said, I've seen moose murders, this stinks worse. Now, what I should have done in preparation for this podcast is look it up and see, oh, is Moose Murders like a really bad play or a musical that he's referring to? Or is he referring to the act of a moose getting murdered?
That would be so brilliant. You're right. I didn't even consider that it could have
been.
I thought it was
murders.
Like a show or something.
Oh, no. Okay. According to this, Moose Murders is a play by Arthur Bicknell.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And it premiered in 1983. And we all know about it. Okay. Here's what it is. It was an immediate flop. It is now widely considered the standard of awfulness against which all Broadway failures are judged. And its name has become synonymous with those distinctively bad Broadway plays which open and close on the same night.
So I feel horrible I didn't know that, but I also don't like plays. Here's a quirk about me. Love musicals more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like plays. Because when I see a play, I'm just waiting for it to turn into a musical. So I do have a weird blind spot in my Broadway knowledge for anything that doesn't have music in it.
Mm. Understandable.
I think we've talked about this before on the show, but I've never seen a musical.
Demi has never seen a musical.
I don't know what to do. You have to come with me to see a musical.
I'm in.
I see like high school performances around Los Angeles.
Do you?
Is that true?
Yes. Me and my roommate and a bunch of our other like college friends. We also go to high school show choir competitions and, you know, maybe just have a drink in someone else's auditorium. Just watch some children. Just you go in and watch some children.
Right.
And like 2 or 3 years ago, we went to one that was sold out because we didn't know we had to get tickets. It was a huge competition. And we lied and said that we had a cousin in it. And she was like, okay, you can go backstage. So we just backstage with a bunch of little kids. So anyway, you're both invited to come to see either a high school musical or show choir.
Here's the double standard in our society. When women of that age do it, it's fun and cute and quirky. When men do it's real creepy.
No, my roommate... who we are like the captains of the team. He's a man. He's a
oh, he's a okay.
He's a man, and we've had this same discussion, which is like, Yeah, I could just have a maternal instinct, but you're automatically like a pedophile. So yeah, men have it really hard. Let's talk about men's rights.
Poor men. I know.
Poor men. And yeah, we got to look dumb in yogurt commercials.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the worst part about being a man.
I would say.
Is looking dumb in yogurt commercials.
We can't have babies.
I trick my husband into eating good for you food by replacing his dessert with a Cinnabon yogurt.
No, woman, woman.
It's pretty good ad copy for a baby.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes, I've seen one ad.
Also, how does a baby sneak into high school theater?
Crawl. They're not looking that
well.
Low.
The roommates they get on top of each yeah. other in oh, a yeah. trench coat.
Yeah, we have a trench coat.
So you guys are like Muppet babies.
I'm usually the head because I can talk really well for a baby.
As we've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, as someone who doesn't have a lot of experience with the show before, watching it upon first viewing, mm-hmm. what was your gut reaction? Was it enjoyable? Was it tedious?
Was it felt like the first TV show based on a Delia's catalog? It felt like it had been like I could see the Deadline article about how Delia's had been bought and there was going to be a spinoff of Delia's. It also I did know all this stuff about how snappy the dialogue was. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, because you had experience watching Bunheads.
Yes, of course. And it was it was very entertaining, but there was something to me that was so funny about how Alexis Bledel and Lauren Graham both almost seemed bored in the way that they were delivering these lines. They're such throwaway lines, mm-hmm. All those pop culture references.
They kind of toss them away. Yeah.
So just foosh, foosh. I made a motion of throwing things behind my shoulders.
Which was so cute with her little arms.
Yeah, little arms. The whole deal with the swan and all that stuff seemed so unnecessary. I really was I don't know how much of this matters. I don't know who Rory ends up with. There's so much boys drama that I am just mm-hmm. jumping into. But then again, the one woman show was really blew me away.
That kind of clenched it for you in a way. Maybe.
Yeah, I really just all the pathos of this woman. She'd been working so hard, and then the old woman at the piano, and she wants to do is act. It's like a chorus line, Demi. You don't get it.
I don't know what that is.
All she wants to do is dance.
I know what it is.
Okay.
The music in the mirror. And I really almost started crying when she came on. It was beautiful.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, if you're a Broadway aficionado, then you must know Kelly Bishop.
Yes.
Formerly the artist known as Carol Bishop.
Yeah.
In A Chorus Line. Tony Award winning.
Oh, also, when they go to the musical, mm-hmm. that was another great thing.
Which is made up, right? The musical that they go to? It's just a part
of
the world.
What do they call it? Do they give it a name?
It's called...
Oh, I don't...
The Hooby Doobies. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
that's
know
real.
What it's called. No. Hooby Doobies is actually...
Because I was if they're going to talk shit about a musical, it should either be something that is known to be bad or...
Yeah, I think it was made up, so they would avoid that pratfall.
No, it seems like a great reason to have your own TV shows to make up musicals. That's what I'm going to work towards, having an unrelated TV show so I can just make a character go to New York every weekend.
And that's the framing device. You see it through their perspective. It starts and ends with them, and they go to a musical, a different one every week.
Yeah. Wait, so which boy do we like better, Jess or Dern? No.
Dern.
Oh, Dern.
I love Dern.
Dern. Dern. Dern for what?
I'm on the third team. Team Largarg.
Largarg?
Largarg.
Luke?
Is anyone Team Alex? Luke. Oh, we love Luke. We do love Luke.
Oh, that's just a name. I know. Who's Largarg?
He's the coffee.
Yeah, he's the coffee man.
Coffee man.
Largarg is Logan, who is someone we haven't met yet, so I don't know who it is.
Coming soon to a TV near you.
Okay.
But in this episode.
I love boys.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Let's talk boys.
Baby. I think in this episode.
You shouldn't be loving boys. You're only 4 months old.
Sorry. It's something you're born with.
I would say Dean. I would say Dean in this episode.
Yeah, no, he seemed... I hated Jess. Yeah. He was so annoying. And then it's thank you. given me a standing ovation. I can't stand up yet.
No, it's okay.
That was very rude of us to sort of show off.
Yeah. I mean, it, what, like 7 months? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. 4 months is what
no,
you said.
He was so, I was like truly getting angry watching this show, being like, why are you not telling someone why you got punched in the eye or hurt or whatever?
It was so frustrating.
It was like one of the craziest things I've seen on a TV show for a while.
Because it was so
and I watch American Horror Story.
Coven?
Bitchcraft? Coven's the best. Whatever. This is a different podcast.
No, it was not. No.
I disagree. Okay, Asylum was... Asylum, favorite experience because it was kind of scary. Coven, funniest. This past Freak Show,
Coven was
horrible.
Funniest. I didn't watch Freak Show.
Yeah, it was bad.
Is there even any point after Lang goes?
Well, you should
Isn't
know.
Isn't she in Freak Show?
But she's not in the next one.
Yeah, she's not in the next
Hotel.
One. Hotel.
Yeah. Shining.
They got Lady Gaga for it, but I don't...
Gaga!
Wait, I want to just throw this out there. I don't think I've ever said this publicly. If anyone... I feel like there's crossover between people who listen to your podcast and who might cast American Horror Story. American Horror Story.
More, American Horror Story.
American
Horror
Story. Mm-hmm. It's a farmer story. All yeah. I want is to be on American Horror Story.
Well, what is the ideal role for you?
I will do whatever you want. There was
carte blanche.
I do think that there could be like a funny yet sexy bellhop who has a secret pass.
Let's get it trending. Amram for AHS.
Thank you.
Okay, hashtag Amram for AHS. And it's the number
Amazing.
4. Yes. It's not the letters because that takes up too much.
Yeah.
So it's the number 4.
Yeah. So along with my one woman bunheads reboot.
Mm-hmm.
This would fill out my resume nicely.
We're giving so many exclusives on the show today. Yeah. This is really lovely.
Yeah. I love Hollywood.
Oh, man. I love show business, too.
Look, if a baby can come here and make it, anyone can.
Yeah.
You really are an inspiration to me and Demi.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you. I like the scene where Jess kind of states the premise of the show in one line when he says,
"You Gilmores think a lot of yourselves."
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
This show is predicated on them finding themselves adorable.
You Gilmore girls.
Yeah. That'd be great.
He looked straight to camera.
Yeah.
It was
you,
so weird.
Gilmore
it was like the first
yourself.
Time I'd ever seen that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it did seem like they think they're really funny. Do they ever like try stand up in the world of the show? I feel like they're
they
the type
not.
Of people who would be like, we're funny.
There's no way a stand-up club exists in this town.
Yeah.
But they definitely think of themselves as hilarious.
Who would be the most likely to stand up in this town? Lorelai?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
She...
Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk would.
Mm.
Who is the director
fall
of the
on
play.
His face.
He
with
does
the scarf.
Every job in the town.
Yeah, all the jobs. Yeah.
That sounds great. I do feel like Lorelai probably like writes in her diary at night, like, here's all the jokes I made today.
For sure.
And, like, writes it down and is like, yum, 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 yum.
It just eats it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true. But
also, side note, sorry. I was raised by a single mom who was not as young when she had me. She was, you know, 34. Our relationship was not, it was like, I'm super close with her, but I was like, wait, what is going on? It was a very funny thing where I was like, like she was sort of, I don't think that she would have been like, I'm so hungry, Rhett, where are you? And then made me go get her food.
In a cutesy sort of way.
That's what Tara Copeland echoed, sort of.
Yeah, she piggybacked on that because that's one of the criticisms that the show gets is that, not that it's a tired trope, but it's sometimes frustrating to watch the mother be the daughter.
Yeah.
Which I think was one of the promos initially for the show.
I was the one in my family doing all that. Fucking jokes. Mom just had to give me that food. I was the one sitting there cracking the one-liners.
Yeah.
That's not true either.
Oh, okay.
Very serious.
So, but from someone coming from a similar situation, was it kind of alienating watching that being like, this isn't realistic?
Yeah. Like, not to, like, pay too much into it, but I was like, is that what it's supposed to be like? Because I liked mine.
Mm-hmm.
Where...
You had a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alexis Bledel is supposed to be, she's like super chaste. Is that her thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jess is almost like breaking her like that streak of her being like, oh, I don't know if we can even kiss. Like, oh.
Yeah, she says, I've even had time to think about that.
Yeah.
Which I don't feel like that's how it works. It's like you have to schedule some time. All right,
sit down and let's talk about.
Yeah, my think about Google the calendar is filled with think about
Jonas Salk.
What you said at that party last night. Yeah, think about Jonas Salk for 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
My God, celeb crush. Jonas Salk.
I just imagine her writing like Mrs. Rory Salk over yeah. and over again.
Dr. and Mrs. Rory Salk.
Dr. Salk. Oh boy. Well, they'll go to the Salk Hop in the next episode.
That's so good.
It's okay. Demi's.
You're real Salk of the Earth.
Oh, that's so much better.
Oh my God,
and
we're
organic.
So funny.
Mm-hmm. You should start a podcast
that was
about us.
Gilmore, yeah. Gilmore Guys Girl.
Gilmore Guys Girl?
Yeah, I'm going to start that.
That'd be lovely.
Where I debrief every episode of your podcast.
There are podcasts that do that. There are podcasts about podcasts, and it's pretty, it's a little cuckoo
what
for Cocoa Puffs.
Living nightmare.
Yes. But okay, let's just dive into the Jess storyline.
Yes.
Because the initial point of contention between them is that Roy gets dragged into the aforementioned Miss Patty's one-woman show. She's workshopping in her own dance studio.
Yeah.
Which was so fun and so delightful to watch. Her and Dean are pleasant. They're not weirdos. They just behave kind of mature and adult-like. And his hair, by the way, is getting a little Farrah Fawcett-y in the back, starting in this episode.
Like yeah. mullet-y?
A little feathery.
Hmm. Yeah.
Actually, is that a Fashion Report thing?
Should we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fashion.
So his hair was getting definitely very feathery. Rory's hair is looking real good starting this episode. We got a lot of Twitter comments affirming that as well.
Hmm.
Her eyes were so sparkly, too.
So sparkly, so beautiful.
She looked like a
belle of the ball.
Bowl of cream with some eyes in it. Just some beautiful blue eyes floating in some cream.
Mm, yummy.
What happened there? I don't know.
Boys, take a number.
Yeah.
Take a number. Lorelai has a Bunny Ranch Cat House shirt. Did you make note of that?
I did.
Oh. That was strange.
Is that a reference to something?
Isn't that the prostitution place in Nevada?
Wasn't Cat House a TV show on HBO? Or am I thinking of something different?
You're thinking of Game of Thrones.
Oh, my bad. I'm thinking of Game of Thrones.
It came out recently.
Yeah. Isn't Cat House the TV show based on the
Game
ranch?
Of Thrones?
Yeah, on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
A Song of Fire and Cats.
I think. Meow. Kirk's scarf.
A Song of Cats and Mice.
That's what it is. A Song of Mice and Men. That's a different thing entirely.
Yeah. I gotta be honest, and maybe I'm biased, but I don't dislike Jess's his jean jacket. Looking pretty good.
Is it the one that looks like a shirt? The one that's just...
No, it's a jacket. Okay. And he has like a little hoodie over it too, I think.
I mean, I generally like jean jackets, so...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For him.
I'm wearing one.
We'll wear it in the picture. It's so teeny tiny.
I left mine at home. Or maybe in the car.
You do have one, though,
I do have one.
Okay.
I'm going to check when...
Wait, you should check for the car to see if you have it. Yeah.
I got it as a gift when my colic went away. Trying to pull all of my baby knowledge out of my little head.
Do you wear it when you're in the trench coat?
Oh, yeah, because sometimes it gets cold and the trench coat is pretty thin because it's, you know, mostly just a disguise.
Right.
So sometimes you got to bundle up underneath.
Oh, that's
cold.
So cute.
Cold babies.
You are so cute.
Thank you.
And precocious. Did you notice any fashion things?
Yes, I did. There was a lavender that popped up multiple times in the episode that I truly have the, there was a shirt that Rory was wearing in, like, the first scene or something that was just, like, a lavender that I feel like only existed in seventh grade. I was like, I think that this is a color of shirt that I only saw on girls who were 13 years old from Delia's.
Yeah.
And then her grandmother also wore the same color, which I wasn't even looking for. It just really popped out at me.
She was wearing a pink cardigan at the end, too. That was pretty fierce. A little turtleneck and pink cardigan. I'm starting to notice turtlenecks.
There's
more.
A lot of turtlenecks now.
Why? Why are they happening? Dean was wearing a half turtleneck in this one as well.
Or they're leaving winter. I don't know.
Yeah, but we just had winter. I didn't wear a turtleneck, so it's unrealistic that they would.
It was interesting. I feel like this was shot at a point when jeans were just totally up and down. There was, like, we were out of any sort of, like, bell bottom, like comeback, like those flare jeans from Old Navy, but we weren't into like skinny jeans yet. It just seemed like a real solid masculine boot cut.
Yeah, it was a little bit of purgatory for us skinny jean lovers. Not saying I'm one of them. I'm not. Any other fashion items?
Lorelai has this shirt at the beginning that's just like a regular shirt with like this Hunger Games mesh style in the middle of it. And it was so weird to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was like this indigo. It was literally just a regular shirt. And then in the middle of it is a neck that is all mesh.
Mm-hmm. She's also wearing a shirt that had someone's face on it, but I couldn't tell whose.
Do you guys have like conspiracy? It sounds like there's like a bubbling world
underneath
a
lot of
the fashion.
It
feels like maybe if you follow these fashion trends throughout the entire show, they spell out something. Mm. Yeah. Like, what is that mesh? Is that from a cage that she's keeping someone in?
What are the turtlenecks? Are they Bond villains?
Yeah.
Are the turtlenecks Bond villains?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
That would be so awesome. Christoph Waltz in the next Bond movie voices a cartoon turtleneck.
Oh,
that's the villain.
Demi, you should do your Christoph Waltz impression.
Have I done it before?
Yeah.
Please.
Hello, Mr. Bond. I see that you've come here about the turtlenecks.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, turtleneck.
It turned into
Bjork
at the end.
It's like almost Irish. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Bond.
Oh, nail it.
I didn't know I could do Christoph Waltz.
But yeah, incredible. You've never done it. That's amazing.
Great. Jess has a brown shirt at the end that he always wears. It makes him look like a Boy Scout.
And he's not, I'll tell you that much.
That's
you
correct.
You know what I mean?
He's literally not.
Yeah, I mean, guys, he's literally not a Boy Scout.
Just drop the facts
on the
show.
Can I just like... Yes. Again, talk about the swan, which really bothered me.
Yes.
So he really was hit by a swan and then lied at the end about the football? Or like, what's the deal? I don't get...
He was...
the deal? I don't get it.
It's unnecessary.
This is why I don't like Jess. This episode is why I don't like Jess. I mean, other episodes too, but this represents all the issues I have with him. There's a lack of levity in his own perception of himself, lack of a sense of humor about it,
so
a lack
angry.
Of honesty, a lack of communication skills, a lack of everything that you kind of need to make a relationship work well and be functional with Rory. That's an easy thing. Oh, yeah, you get to Emily's, you have a black eye, and not a black guy. Hilarious joke.
Yeah.
Great joke.
What is that pop culture call? Which I can't do this joke.
Babies.
You were 4 months old.
Yeah.
This is fine.
I just got a tooth.
Oh, just now.
Oh
my
gosh. Tooth, and then it messed up my joke.
Oh, that's so cute.
I was going
though.
To say, who is that black guy referencing?
Idris
what
Elba.
Is that obscure pop culture?
Yeah, it was
reference?
Idris Elba.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
In 2002,
I didn't know like
Idris
who
Elba.
The black guy in Gilmore Girls was because I haven't watched any.
Michelle.
So.
It's Michelle.
Yeah. There's one single black man. And it's Michelle.
Is that a man named Michelle?
It's a man named Michelle.
That's
it's like
awesome.
The French Michelle. Michelle.
Ooh. Mm. I would like to see a supercut of just him.
He's great.
It's coming.
Yeah.
it probably exists.
Yeah.
It's just every time he's like, oh, Lorelai, I do not want to be here.
Listen, if there's a montage video of Kirk set to the song Sexy back on YouTube, there's something with Michelle similarly.
Great.
There is.
Because there is. I guess that's been the fashion report.
Fashion.
Good fashion report. But the swan, again, yeah, it's an easy conversation. You get to Emily's, say, oh, yeah, something crazy happened. Yeah, it was a swan.
He
isn't
was
that stupid?
So
okay.
Annoying.
It would also make him sympathetic. Like, it would make, in the eyes of Emily, he'd be like, oh, okay, that's way better than you getting in a fight.
Yeah, totally.
Also, they seem like really easy people to get along with. Like, the Gilmores, for as snappy as their dialogue is, are pretty, like, chill.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, Rory seems nice and interesting and. She's very pretty, and her mom lets her mostly do whatever she wants, and they apparently eat a ton of food, which is a very cool addition that I was like, oh, is this part of the show that they just are constantly eating?
Yep.
That's great.
They're eating garbage 24/7 on this show.
That's a little unrealistic.
Hallmark, yeah.
But I really just like love that as a talking point. I was like, don't you want to date this person? She yeah. seems cool. He was like a whiny little baby. And I know.
And you should know something about that.
Yeah. It reminds you of one of your friends.
Yeah. Who's the same age as me.
But the lie he tells at the end too, like, I was throwing the football around with some of
tossing
my
your
buddies.
Pigskin with my boys.
Which, by the way, he has no friends.
Yeah.
He has no friends in Stars Hollow. There's no one he could be. It would either be Luke or Rory. Like, those are the only two people he talks yeah. to ever, unless it's Kirk.
All right.
From time to time.
Do you think that they thought of the title for this episode first and then worked backwards? They were like, you know what's a fun phrase? Swan song. Let's do it.
Let's see.
Probably.
We'll put the swan in somewhere.
They were like, look, we got the swan, but we only can do it for one shot. And they're like, just throw him in the lake. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was also
let him improvise.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they love improv on this show.
The swan got to 301, all right? The swan can do some stuff.
But there is a weird swan thing. Do you remember in season one when they bring the swans for that wedding that they're coordinating at the yeah. Independence Inn? And Suki, I forget who it is. It's Suki or Jackson or Lorelai. They're like terrified of the swans. So it's like it actually is a runner right. in the show because it was in season one as well. For whatever reason, there's like a weird swan thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know what really gets me about that is that I feel like if anyone in the town were to like be so like, oh, that's fine that you got hit by a swan, it would be Rory. Like, that's the one person I can think would be like, I don't care. That's not embarrassing. Whatever.
That's yeah. hilarious. Yeah. Why would you not tell everybody? It's I would a good like, story. What a boon if I got hit by a swan.
Honestly, that would kill on Twitter too.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Instagram likes?
Yeah.
Likes would be off the charts. So there was also that scene in the beginning where he says,
you're a book tease.
Forget when I'm done.
You're a book tease.
You're a book tease.
Which is just, I mean, I know they have chemistry. I know they date in real life, blah, 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 blah.
You're a book tease.
I mean, his croak, his vocal fry is off the charts.
You're a book tease.
You're a book tease. Like, the whole thing. Oh. It's just, you're a book tease. Can't handle it.
He's never going to perform on Broadway with that fry.
Ooh, you don't think?
He's going to have to netty a lot. Also, is that a play on cock tease, or is that just...
I think so. How could it not be?
I didn't even think about that till you played it twice.
There's some weird, like, hidden innuendos in this show that you wouldn't see coming.
You're a book tease.
It's just Philip. It just always turns into Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour book tease.
One way or another. Let's take a moment to praise the name of Emily Gilmore in this episode. She was great. I am like, listen, I know she can be difficult sometimes. Sometimes she has no chill. But in this episode, she had a lot of chill. She had a lot of chill. She was so sweet for Rory to just be like, when Jess opens the door and he's got that big shiner, she doesn't even react. Like, oh, are you okay? She's just like, hi, welcome to my home, you know?
She is great with company, I think. Richard sometimes is like, I don't care. I don't like this boy. Like, which is why I would have liked to see Richard meet Jess.
Who's Richard?
Richard is the grandfather. It's Edward Herman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to see Richard meet Jess, and they make a brief mention of Gran meeting Jess. Gran is Emily's mother-in-law, and she is just the worst. They do not get along.
As played by Marion Ross.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would have loved to see if Jess would have gotten along with Gran just by the virtue of Emily not liking either of them, or if they would have just been way worse.
Yeah, that would have been a fun dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Guess we'll never see it ever.
But,
Wait for the reboot.
It could happen.
Season we're going to see it.
Which you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
oh
you're
God.
Doing.
That was secret, but.
Oh, we can cut it out.
Yeah.
No, let's
no it's
leave
okay.
It
it's okay. I think today's the right time to announce this.
So many exclusives.
God, I loved when she got mad about the salt and pepper.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go check on that. Yeah.
Oh, the salt's almost ready. It's been roasting.
She was grasping at straws something to like, you guys are in trouble. I'm going to give you a minute.
She really had so much social grace. I envy people who just know immediately when to get the salt.
Mm-hmm. And when to get the F out of the room.
Yeah.
I just wish she had gone like, awkward and like pulled on her collar and then left.
Put on a necktie slowly, then pulled it, then awkward, done that thing, and then taken it off and then left.
Yeah.
So here's one of our Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
It's from Austin Elizabeth on Twitter.
Beautiful name.
They asked, what was your first guess as to how Jess got his black eye? Because not knowing it was a swan, watching it for the first time.
I thought for sure it was Dean.
It was Dean? Yeah.
I thought it was Dean, but also, I guess, going down on Rory. There's no way to know. I
he
had
just went
not
down
realized.
Too fast.
I didn't know.
Oh!
I didn't know what kind of a show this was.
Oh, there is.
Oh, I'm kidding. I thought it was Dean.
Rory, why'd you put this baseball on your legs?
That I stole.
I thought he got a black eye from the dialogue flying too quickly around his head.
It was too machine gunny for him to handle. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Paige Fernberg asks, have you ever gotten a black eye and how?
I have not.
I have gotten a black eye because I opened a car door on my face, which was awesome. It like hurt a lot, but as it was happening, I was like, this is great.
Because you were so short. Yeah.
I'm like, I have no spatial reasoning and I hate it because I like never want to, just like deliver stereotypes about women to people on a platter, but I like don't know how to park very well. I just like hit the curb until I like That's how I know how close I am to the curb is I just screech my car up next to
I do that. I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay, not that's gender good. Specific at all.
But I did. Yeah. I just like opened a door and walked and like was going to get in my car at the same time. The delicate ballet of me doing daily tasks did not work out that day.
Wait, how long ago was this?
Like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But it looked really cool.
Did you tell people that's what happened?
I broke off all relationships with anyone who asked me about my black eye, which made this episode really hit close to home.
No, you accepted it. It was a fun story. You told to people.
Yeah,
they
of course.
Laughed. You laughed.
It's amazing to have a black eye.
It's what normal adults do.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about a 17-year-old, but I think it's still.
Yeah. Even as a 17-year-old, I'd be like, look, this is really stupid, but I got attacked by a swan.
Yeah, it still checks out.
Also, he tries to. He's like, I'm going to kill this swan. He
with
grabs
a ladle.
Yeah, that's so weird, too. Yeah,
what is he going to do? Like, scoop it?
Yeah, so dumb. Like, all that stuff.
That guy's so stupid.
Yeah, he's not. I know we do it every episode. We haven't gone through it, but I say no to the Jess. We have a segment called Say Yes to the Jess. We say either yes or no to him based on his actions in this particular episode. I'm going to say no. No to the Jess.
I'm going to say no also.
Oh, no to the Jess.
Especially because the reconciliation after Luke gives him the talk is, oh, I'll lie to you about what happened.
Right. In the same conversation, she's like, I need to be able to trust you like I trusted Dean.
So dumb.
You know what's funny? I learned that Jess is the only one of Rory's boyfriends that did not get nominated for a Teen Choice Award.
Oh, snubs.
So America agrees with us.
Snubs and flubs, man.
Snubs and flubs.
That I can't wait till I get to vote for the Teen Choice Awards.
One day you'll host.
Yeah, I mean,
In like
12 years.
Yeah, 12 years.
Right,
ago.
When you're old enough.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then otherwise, okay, so we talked about that. We talked about Emily. Emily, okay, because Lorelai goes to New York with Alex. Sheriff Twilight from Twilight, Bella's father, which this is his very last episode. He's a love interest.
That last episode.
I did. I mean it this time because I actually looked it up.
Okay.
That was a Gilmore goof. This is a Gilmore fact. And this is his last episode, but they don't really wrap it up with a lot of completion
anything.
With a lot of satisfaction, in my opinion. And he's so, even in the two scenes or one scene he was in, no chemistry, no charisma.
No, I didn't know that they were like a dating thing. Like, it didn't make any sense. I was like, wait, are these people dating?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No.
It's so dumb. Yeah. Oh, I do want to talk about the moment, my favorite moment in this episode, and the moment where, okay, so Roy does spend the night at Emily's.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorelai and her are talking on the phone, and then she hands her the phone to Emily. Lorelai's like, oh, thank you for like not being insane and treating him well, and thank you for doing all this stuff. And then Emily has this to say about Jess.
How can you let your daughter be with that abominable thug?
Mom. First he arrives late. How disrespectful is that? Then he's
rude to Rory, rude to me.
Mom.
Oh, and that attitude. I wanted to slap that monosyllabic mouth of his. And God forbid they're in another accident together or his heap of a car breaks down and Lord Jim has decided cell phones are beneath him and they're stranded in the middle of nowhere. How can you let this happen?
She just holds up the phone.
He belongs in jail.
He belongs in jail.
He belongs in jail.
So good. It's very cathartic to listen to. Yeah. My favorite character, dump all over.
Just let me listen.
Oh, no, it was
character.
Also great because she was so polite and kept it together so mm-hmm. well and then really let her have it.
Oh,
I was like, oh,
so
this is
lovely.
A thinking woman.
Yes. See, guys, Emily's got it. She knows what's going on, yeah. man.
For sure.
I will not defend her all the time, but definitely on this one.
Mm-hmm.
She seems like she might be racist. Like, I don't know if you get to see her being racist at all. I just get the sense maybe she's racist.
I can see that. It racist in a way that she's like, but I have black friends. It's fine.
Yeah,
but she's still.
She's just very, like, conservative.
Yeah.
And I was glad that she didn't venture into that because I was able to still like her. But I was afraid.
Were you were afraid at
I
any moment she could
like,
drop an N-bomb or something?
She clutches yes. her purse when she sees an African-American on the street.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
But, like, it is a nice purse.
Right.
So.
And they are black.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. Oh, boy. And then she had that lovely line.
And apparently all the men who drive them are hopped up on Bennies and goofballs.
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean.
That made me laugh a disproportionate amount.
Yeah.
To like, it was, she was just talking, but yeah, had at it. Man, okay. So, yeah, all the Jess stuff pisses me off. Then we get to that conversation that he has with Luke in the boat. Because I guess Luke has a boat. Sure, why not? He probably made it.
He's making that diner money.
Yeah.
Buy a boat.
He's got that diner money. And so they go out to look for the swan. The whole thing, all of this stuff with Luke and Jess, I actually find to be very enjoyable. I think Jess is a good foil for Luke.
Yeah.
Because Jess is...
Is Luke Jess's dad or like...
His uncle.
Okay. I got the sense it was like an adopted dad or like some sort of... Not literally, but like
right.
sort of
right.
guardian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they, yeah, so that's their relationship. And I think it works at its best when Jess is being insane and Luke's like, chill out, buddy, or laughing at his pain. Which, by the way, this is the second time that Luke has assumed the worst about Jess in the show. He's like, where are you going out? There's that scene where he's like, are you a gigolo?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you a male prostitute? And he works at Walmart. This was, who did you get in a fight with? Was it Dean? And it was a swan attacked him.
It makes perfect sense, though. Like, I know it's assuming
Wait,
the worst, but...
what if that swan... Does that swan... Is it revealed that he... That's Rory's ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, that's a season
that
six
would be
thing,
so
though.
So cool.
What?
Sorry, dude. Spoilers. But yeah, it's a season six thing.
Well, it's a good spoiler to learn.
Mm-hmm. So Luke's breaking it down in this scene in a way kind of Dean did with Max on that double date that they went on in the beginning of season two.
Right.
Megan knows exactly what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Love yeah, love
It's such
that.
A good app. Great mm-hmm. app. And he's like, when you know, when you date the Gilmores, when you date Rory, you're not just dating her, you're dating the mom, the grandma, blah, 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 which just the idea of it sounds so repulsive. Luke says, you have plenty more events like that in your future. And Jess is like, no way. That's literally his yeah. response to it. Like, he doesn't seem to be at all familiar with the concept of dating.
He's so...
Yes, my thoughts exactly. I was like, wait, I don't think you have ever met another person. Like, he definitely has never dated someone. It's not that weird that she has a mom and grandma.
Right.
And I have to meet them and talk to them. Of course, that scene also yielded the great line. Yeah, his butt's terrifying when the swan does pass them. And he's like, oh, yeah, terrifying. I just love any time Luke laughs and smiles so much in this episode, which is not the norm.
He only smiles when he's making fun
very
of Jess.
Cute.
Yeah. Luke?
Yeah.
Oh, you're team Luke.
Is that good?
Yes. No, that's great. We love Luke. We love Luke. Scott Patterson. We love you.
It's better than Alex.
Better than Alex. Let's talk about one thing we haven't talked about in this episode is all the stuff with the band.
I would love to talk about that because Seth Cohen makes little... I didn't realize he was in this show.
Yes.
California, here we come. Right back where we started from.
I will say Ayesha Muhar, who was a guest on your podcast, her mm-hmm. ringtone on her phone is that song, which I think is the best. Oh my God, this is so good. I think this is such a good song.
I do too.
It's probably the greatest song written.
It's probably why I moved to Los Angeles. Also,
driving in the sun, looking out for number one. California, here we come. Right back where we started from.
Whoa.
Horses grab your gun.
Driving down the 101. California, here we come. Right back where we started from. California.
California.
Here we come.
Yeah.
I only took the 101 back and forth when I first moved here because I just was such a fan.
That is a tough
you
route.
You had a very hard time getting
all the
anywhere.
Way, all oh, the way down.
Speaking
way
on that. Emily at one point says, oh, well, if he's going on the 84, there's probably some traffic. They're in Connecticut. Do people in Connecticut call highways the 84? They would just call it 84.
We talked about this before.
Right. In Oregon, we would just say like I-5 or
yeah.
405.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We didn't call it like the 5.
Right. You in Texas, it's
very California
it's just
thing.
I-59, mm-hmm. I-10. But yeah, that struck me as like a very California. Speaking of California.
Couldn't even hide it.
So the band, Because that's the big secret. Lorelai accidentally says at one point, oh, you guys are going to just play love songs with each other. Boo, boo, beam, boo.
Which is, yeah. She's like, slipped out.
No, it didn't. It was a highly crafted sentence that was kind of a joke. That seemed like a very fun. It's like, oh, no, these perfect barbs just fall out of my mouth.
You could tell she was like, I shouldn't say anything, but it's a really good joke. I'm going
to
do it.
I found all of this story to be very fun to watch and very enjoyable. Even though the inception of it and the questioning of it was kind of sitcom-y in its execution, it was so fun.
It was.
Like, dude, you're a Christian. That's okay. Like, Zach and all
They're
that stuff.
So dumb.
Adam Brody, not a Christian, not believing it for a second. A cute little Jew.
I was a cute little Jew boy.
Cute little Jewy.
Mm-hmm. Little
Wait, adding what to Jew is offensive? Is Jewy, yes.
Jewy, and depends.
I mean, sometimes you need to just describe yourself. I'm very sickly all the time. My stomach's not that strong, so I would call myself Jewy.
Okay.
Just a sick, sick pale girl. Jewy.
I heard Galifianakis say about Andy Kindler one time he should start a band called Jewy Jewish and the Jews.
The most unbelievable part of them not really like figuring out the whole Lane and Dave thing is that she goes, I have to warn you, my daughter has a crush on you. And they are just like, Christian, huh?
Oh, they gloss over that part. Yeah. Yeah, that was the one weak part of that story.
Ridiculous.
I would agree. But that yielded that scene where Mrs. Kim, Lane's mom, comes up to the car. She's like, hello, Dave, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And Dave's like, oh, we're in a combo. He plays it super chill. He's super smooth. I just love Adam Brody. Who about it? He just got cast in a CBS pilot, by the way.
Yes.
We made that happen, I think, from this podcast.
It's our
Jews run Hollywood.
You
and your pilot.
Said
or
it,
your
not me.
Podcast.
And then she had this line where she's like, it was a line where I said aw and laughed at the same time because I just thought it was so cute. And Emily Carota's delivery of it I thought was so fun.
Maybe I book your combo sometime. Mix it up a little.
Yeah.
So good.
Kevin did a very cute little movement.
Because it was exactly what she did. Mix it up a little.
Like, that's her going wild. She's like, I'm going to add two people to the band.
I know. That was the thing. And then she was smiling, which you never see her smile anyway. So
she only smiles when she's talking to Dave. Which is kind of adorable,
right?
But it's also so frustrating because she, in a previous episode, was like, they can't be together because he's not Korean, which is a bummer of a line.
It was a Barack Obama.
She's my favorite Gilmore Girl.
Is she?
Is Mrs. Kim?
Yeah.
Really?
Mrs. Kim is my favorite Gilmore Girl.
She is one of my favorite townies, I think.
She's
like,
great.
Taken on the whole, yeah. We have to have her on the show one day.
That would be amazing.
You should come back and interview her, and we'll leave.
I would love to. Yeah.
Just you and her talking about that this one episode. No other context.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. And then they do find out, oh, you know, you're Christians. Okay. We just can't play Creed and Amy Grant. That's where we draw the line. That's fun. I loved it. It was very delightful. And then it was that same scene. Alex drops off Lorelai, and that is the last time we see him. Mm-hmm. It is. I promise. Totally promise.
Except for the next episode.
You're right. Okay, and this also introduces the idea of Rory being a sexual being at all. This episode is the first time they talk about it in any sort of real way. Because with Dean, I guess it wasn't an issue. Like,
well, Dean has no penis, so.
Right, we did establish before Dean is a Ken doll. Yeah, down there. It's just very smooth and very white and creamy. But not
Ken
too creamy.
Ken doll in the wind.
Yeah, like
5,000 Kindles in the wind.
Yes. Oh, that is beautiful.
I don't know what to do with
like
it.
A Kindle in the wind. Oh, gosh.
I did think it was like an interesting reaction that Lorelai had to Rory being like, I might think about having sex, because it's like, it just seemed unchill.
Lorelai's reaction?
Yeah, not even in a way of like, whether you should or shouldn't do that. But she just seemed very, like, stressed out about talking with her daughter about it. And I was like, I thought that your thing was that you just talked about everything.
I think this is the first time she's had to confront, because that is a part of their relationship that has to be mother-daughter. And that's where that instinct kicks in.
That's very interesting.
Well, because most of the time they write them, and there's whole episodes that go by where the fact that they are mother and daughter is not even touched upon or addressed or even a part of their dynamic. They're just like hanging out and being friends.
Yeah.
It's like Marty McFly and Doc.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like that. Yeah, I've always thought of Lorelai as a Doc sort of character. But in this episode, when it's like, oh, my daughter's thinking about having sex, then you go into mom mode, and then you have to pull out that dynamic.
Then she turns into like a Woody Allen character where she's like, just like can't get a word out.
Woody Allen's a big influence on this show, yes. I will say. A big influence, even in the way it's shot. Especially I'm thinking of one particular scene at the end of an episode in season 6 that's a direct ripoff in a good way of Husbands and Wives. Really, really good. Yeah. It's like all over it. There was an episode two episodes ago. They were talking about the spider the size of a meat.
They do the same font and like clarinet music.
That's how every episode.
Yeah.
They keep showing overhead shots of New York. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, because
it's
weird.
In Connecticut, right?
No,
it's weird.
It's an interesting choice, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
Overall. And so they start talking about it, and then that's where you get to the ending. Where she's like, yeah, I think I might want to. She's like, oh, okay. And that's one of those silent, melancholy endings I like so much. And especially for a show that's so ba 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 ba. And then you end it on like 45 seconds of silence and not talking. I found to be very effective. Yeah. I thought it was a very good ending. And just putting their arms around each other while eating gross food.
It did confuse me, though, because there's no moment where she's with Jess that it seems like we should talk about, you know, our relationship and whether or not things are going to change between us. And it's really, it just kind of seems like she goes home. She's like, oh, you know what? I think I do want to have sex with Jess. And then, like, they don't talk about it with Jess. It's just like she wants to tell her mom.
And she just had, like, a terrible time with it.
Yeah.
That's what was also kind of crazy. It was like, oh, Jess, I'm fully in the say no to the Jess camp. Like, mm-hmm. He seems like a terrible person.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like, I'm glad you made up.
But kind
like,
of.
Kind of. But he acted like a crazy person. Mm-hmm. Rory, don't do it.
Don't do it, Rory. Say no to the Jess.
Say no to Milo.
Well, she did, ultimately. I might cut that out. Oh, we didn't talk about the scene where Rory goes to see Dean in Dosey's Market. And she said, oh, you know, because she doesn't trust Jess. This is after they had the fight where she shouldn't. That's the thing. Like, he's broken the trust. There's no reason for her to trust him at this point. And she asked Dean, who she can trust and rely on, did you get in a fight with him? Did you give him the black eye? And he pleads the shaggy on that.
It wasn't me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
You know that Mulaney joke about when you see a bunch of mariachi people getting onto a subway and then you realize, oh, no, and that's what it must be like in a drive-by shooting? That's what I just felt.
No.
You said Shaggy, and I'm like, Shaggy? What does that have to... Oh, no. And then you hit play on It Wasn't Me.
I immediately thought of the Scooby-Doo character and was totally at sea.
Like, Zoinks, It Wasn't Me, Scoob.
I feel so glad to at least just be back at square one, just like here with you both. I was so far gone.
In the last episode, we were making a joke about George Clooney, and he goes, he was talking about his wife. And at some point he goes like, yeah, it kind of reminds me of a Woody Allen movie, and I'm waiting for it, and he says, scenes from a mall, and I lost it. That's our dynamic.
That's amazing.
He's great.
It's
Kevin's good.
Guys,
Kevin, you're
stop.
Great.
Stop. Yeah, I mean, guys, I mean,
you're also great.
Look, as we established on the commentary, I'm not at 100%.
I was going to bring it up,
but
again,
we didn't but say like, that.
Yes,
we didn't weigh in on that one way or another.
But if you did,
not
you
my
know.
Place. Not my place.
Your place is a daycare. Am I right?
that sounded misogynistic, but it wasn't
because she's a baby.
I'm a baby.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
For those of you just turning in on your radios, mm-hmm. I'm a baby.
People do that on podcasts a lot.
Right.
On my favorite podcast, I like to tune in at like an hour into it, which is where we are, roughly, more or less. Anything else we need to cover? Any stray loose ends? I love Emily in this episode. I love the way Emily is in the teaser where she's giving Rory a lot of shit like, oh, well, I guess we'll just meet him at the graduation, and then Gran will see him, and blah blah blah, and da 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 da. Like, it's just so fun and playful.
Oh, she's like totally in control. She was MVP for me. Why is that how you say it, that sports thing?
MVP?
MVP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you envy how much pee those guys get. Right. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Rory tells me you're employed by the Walmart Corporation.
She's trying.
She is.
She's trying. He's like, yeah, good. Like, every answer is just a big middle really finger is. To her.
We didn't talk about Rory and Lorelai each walking in on the other making out.
Oh, yeah. Mm. The first one was fine. The first one was whatever with Alex. Because who cares?
Yeah.
Because there's no stakes to it because right. he's leaving.
Walking in on your mom kissing someone is like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Walking in on your daughter kissing someone is like, I would be worried.
Yeah, well, especially because it's Jess. They were a little bit horizontal. Although I did love it in that scene. They don't do like dramatic camera moves ever, but there was like a Scorsese push in to like Lorelai.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Jess and Rory did not hear her go up the stairs. They didn't hear her open the door. They didn't hear her say, oh. It was only on the third, oh.
Yeah.
They heard her. It took a bit to get to the point where they're like, oh, let's get
when
up.
When you're kissing, all sound is nothing.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works, dude.
I can't wait.
Kiss.
Earmuffs is what I do. Yeah, so.
Oh, that's pretty hot.
Or it's revealed in like two seasons that they're both deaf.
Yeah.
Rory has been deaf the whole time.
Wow.
What a twist.
M. Night Shyamalan thing.
That would make sense given her singing in a couple of episodes ago.
Ooh.
It's fine. Wow. She won't listen to
she's
this.
Never coming on the show now.
Well, she's canceled on us 21 times.
That is true.
Yep. How long were they in Miss Patty's, by the way, watching the show? Because it started during the day, and it ended at night.
And supposedly Dean himself was there for an hour. So how long is this one-woman show?
Oh, that's so much funnier if it's like 9 hours long. Yeah. If it's like an entire
it was at least
Angels
three.
In America. Like
it's the Lord of the Rings part, trilogy.
Yeah.
Even though you wouldn't care about Angels in America because
it's a play. I don't care.
It's an irrelevant piece of work.
Get me a super fun, upbeat musical of Angels in America.
We're angels in America. We're going to fly over everyone. And we're gay. Hey, the angels aren't gay. Well, they are kind of.
All angels are gay.
It's been a that's been established. All angels are gay. Sexuality is a
sexuality concept. Is fluid up in heaven, too.
And heaven is for real. I'm trying to see if there's any stray soundboards I didn't cover.
Any clips from Heaven is for Real?
Papa, I saw Heaven.
I do have a clip from Heaven is for Real.
That's just Miss Patty making a moan.
Miss Patty moaning at a construction worker in a previous episode.
Oh, that's
I feel
ripe.
Like for someone who's like new to the show, you would love all things to do with townies, which was why I was so happy this episode, because it often works out with scheduling or whatever. People get random episodes. But with this one, it was like a lot of townies in it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good townie action with Miss Patty and Kirk. And yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, sure. It really fills out the world.
And when it does, and when they're not on it, the episodes are not as good.
I agree.
Yeah, like it becomes kind of a different. It becomes a more pedestrian show. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a lot like The Residence of Pawnee. I would say
I love that segue. I love Pawnee.
Yeah,
I do too.
We miss it.
I miss it so much
every day.
I just want to turn on my TV on Tuesday and just see something.
It's freed me up for a lot of new projects, though, as you've been hearing throughout this podcast.
That's true.
That now you're a very prolific and busy woman.
Yeah, bunheads.
Mm-hmm.
American Horror Story Hotel. Hashtag Amram4AHS.
Get it trending.
That is actually going to become it. If you tweet that, that will become a thing.
I will. I'm going to tweet it with no context.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well.
That's
today, until this podcast comes out.
Oh, yeah. Tweet every day until this podcast comes out. So, should we go around and rate the episode? Are we at
should.
That time or? Is there any other points we wanted to make?
Straight comments.
Dense. Yeah.
Emily's smirking at, oh, I knew you weren't with Dean anymore, when she's like sort of just
so
passive
good,
aggressive.
So good.
That was really
terrific.
Good.
Kirk is the director of the one-man show. Incredible. Trying to make Bette Davis a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Murderer. a murder. I would have loved to see just the version of Miss Patty's play where she's making up all of these memories.
Mm-hmm.
I met Tito Puente once, and he turned into a cat before my very eyes. Just something like that. That would be great. It was fun to see Dean and Rory just as friends, you know? It was...
At the end of the night, like, there's no drama, there's no hassle to it. And what's interesting about that, too, is because often people have pointed out, listeners and gillies out there point out, oh, you know, Dean sucks. He's really manipulative. He's really controlling. is it more control? Is it not just as controlling when Jess calls up? So I guess you've been hanging out with Dean a lot lately, huh? Like it's very, there's a lot of shades of Dean in that phone call and conversation.
As soon as someone starts dating Rory, they just become the worst versions of themselves. They don't become, or like the worst version of themselves comes out.
Yeah. At one point or another.
Yeah.
Did you like the production value of them going to New York, which New York just equals steam on the streets?
Yes. Oh,
just a lot of steam.
I want to see someone ripping a six sax solo on that steam grate.
Yeah. Baker
the
Street,
big baby. Steam grate. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it.
The BSG.
Big steam grate.
Ah, Times Square. All this steam everywhere.
Look at the steam, I tell you.
I do think my favorite reference in the whole episode was about Elaine Stritch.
Again, minus the bitterness.
I want this to bring this back to the one woman show.
Yeah. That's the centerpiece, really.
How many times is Elaine Stritch mentioned in Gilmore Girls?
At least one more, I feel like.
Okay.
There's at least one more.
Please point out that episode. I would like to also watch it.
All right, and then we'll have
not that I don't want to watch. I want to watch this all now.
Yeah, has this intrigued you in any way to be like, oh, I might check it out?
Totally. I need to know what these relationships are, and I think that you're right when you talk about the Townies. I want to see that band. I want to see, do they play Creed? Maybe.
They don't. They do play the Last American Hero theme song, though.
Or Greatest American Hero?
Great. Oh, does
Believe
it last?
It or not,
I'm walking on air.
Great.
They play Hollaback Girl at one point. Or no, that's someone else. There's a Hollaback Girl.
Oh, that's
cover.
Gwen Stefani.
That's,
she does that.
That's Sebastian Bach, actually.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah. No, he becomes a character on the show.
So, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm hooked.
You're in. When I saw the Miss Patty one woman show, I was like, we didn't screw up in this guest assignment. We did not screw up. This episode was written, I forgot to say at the top of the episode, written by Daniel Palladino and directed by Chris Long. So, there.
Danny Dino.
This would have changed everything I said in this podcast.
Oh,
I can't believe
Let's go
didn't.
Back. Let's go
yeah,
back.
Yeah,
let's start.
Re-record.
Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
We're the Gilmore guys, and today we have a guest, Megan Amram. Megan, this episode was written by Daniel Palladino. How do you feel about it?
I wasn't listening. Can you do that again?
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Hi. Kevin. Hey, so this episode is written by Daniel Palladino. What did you think?
Oh, my God.
It?
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
Oh, us too. Yeah, his work on Family Guy was great. Mm-hmm. His work on this show and Bunheads was terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for coming by.
It was super fun.
Yeah, it was really good. Let's rate the episode.
Let's.
I loved it. I thought there was a lot of, it didn't seem fillery, even though it didn't seem like a lot advanced, like advanced, but there was so much to love about it. And I always find it fun whenever you give Emily a new character to interact with in a major way, whether that's Michelle and they're like best friends / secret lovers, or Jess, so she can just like dump all over him. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10
Whoa.
Swan killing ladles.
Oh man, I was going to go swans of swimming. But honestly, I feel like I didn't love this episode as much as you did. I think it was a pretty base episode in terms of everything. Like, I feel like plot in advance. The biggest through line of the episode is Jess is in a fight. What happened with the fight? And I like didn't care, because in my head I had already thought it's definitely Dean. And then when it wasn't Dean, I was like, okay, who is it? Still, I don't care that much. But when we find out it's a swan, I got like upset that he didn't just say it's a swan.
Oh yeah, no, totally agree.
Because he would have gotten sympathy from both Emily and Rory. Easily. And it's just this whole thing of like his
and
pride.
Just laugh
is getting
it off
away.
And yeah, just be normal.
And then God. The sex storyline of her being like, I think I have had time to think about it, was mm-hmm. like, oh, we need to put this in at the episode rather than. Because she would have talked to Jess about that kind of thing first. Although Jess would never have handled it in a serious way.
He would probably just would have whipped it out immediately.
Oh, did you say sex? Well.
That's but, the sound, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Patty play. Kept this whole thing afloat for me.
Yeah, the centerpiece. But, you know, I think maybe I rated it so high because I feel like it validates my dislike of Jess.
It definitely validates my dislike.
Because you're having to take it episode by episode. But me, like, having seen all the thing before, I'm thinking about episodes like this where it's right. like, he's such a tool.
He's the worst.
Be normal.
I want to get to an episode where we have to like Jess, which we've only had so few of.
Okay, so this is now that we've introduced the Rory's sexuality into the discussion.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you had to make a prediction, Rory loses her virginity, however that works out, what would you say?
Like whether or not she does?
Well, she, spoiler alert,
she
does.
No, of course she does.
Yes. It'd be funny if she didn't the whole show, though.
Yeah.
Like we all should. Guys, I'm here to talk to you about
this. Well, I'm married, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're a baby,
I'm at least 11 years away. I don't.
11?
No, that's about right.
Whenever. Okay. Yeah.
I will say that she's going to lose her virginity. I'm going to say before the end of the season. Yeah. I don't know why.
Okay.
And
this is fun.
Rating-wise, I'm going to give this episode 6 strobe lights.
Out of 10. Oh, those strobe lights were so funny.
I love them.
Megan.
I wish I could rate the Jess stuff on a different level.
You can.
You can.
Okay. You're allowed. Like, I give that like a 1. It made me so deeply mad that he was reacting. I just like don't like usually watching people react in a way where you're just like, don't do that. You're making things harder for yourself. Don't do that. So the fact that he was just like, and also just being very rude about going to this dinner, it's not that big of a deal. It's a dinner at a beautiful house, well prepared. And it was like pot roast or prime rib or something delicious that I would have loved to have.
Yeah, he was
free.
Really raging against it.
Yeah, he was like, grandma, I'm coming to your dinner. So that was very frustrating. So I give that 1 Delia's catalog. And I give the rest of it like 8.5 Delia's catalogs for the fun stuff with the band, for I liked Luke. I liked Dorn.
Dorn.
I liked
we loved Dorn.
Yeah. I liked when they got takeout. I liked all the theater stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a highlight.
All right. 8.5 out of 10 from a new Gilly. Mm-hmm. Are you a Gilly now? Would you say?
Oh yeah.
I'm going to
really just take a lot of time out of my life to catch up on this.
There's 153 episodes
before you shoot season 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's also something fun about me being a wild card.
Right, right.
Really,
that's true.
Not knowing any
I
of the
think
backstory.
Not being prepared for jobs.
Like, hey,
makes them
I'm Rory's
better.
Mom. Does she have a mom?
I'm Maury's. Maury, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Maury's mom? Well,
Tuesdays with Rory is the spinoff.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That you're going to come up with. Now it's time for a segment called
Where You Tweet.
I will follow. That's pretty good.
Harmonies.
Yeah. You can, of course, find me at Kevin T. Porter on all this stuff. And I do this podcast called Gilmore Guys. It's I've pretty fun. It's probably going to be, I'm probably canceling it and pulling the plug pretty soon because there's just like weird tensions and stuff with my co-host.
It's been going a while.
It's for a bit. It's like everything's fine when the mics are on, but when they're off, we're just like hate-filled stuff.
It's and like it's Homer and Bart.
It's like, yeah, there's a lot of choking and a lot of like shorts eating and stuff. So yeah, check that out while it's still on, but that's going away pretty soon.
You can find me at Electrolemon at most places, and I am pretty soon starting a podcast called Bunhead Bros. Gonna watch every episode of Bunhead and just talk about it, just gab about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Truly interesting.
Yeah, I don't know who I'm going to do it with, though.
You're going to start
Do you want to be part of that podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What do I have to do to... Should I be the Bunhead Bro, like, girl perspective?
Sure.
Okay, great. Because I feel like you don't usually get girls talking about Bunheads.
You don't.
It's mostly, like, jocks.
It's
jocks like, and, like, frat bros, like, popped up collars, like listening to John
jock.
Mayer.
Am I saying that right? Jock?
Jock.
Jock?
Yeah, like a Jacques.
Jacques.
Like a Jacques.
Yeah. Like a bunch of, like, Jacques in high school.
Just
yeah.
French football players.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, not in that.
Oh, varsity blues.
Passy ball. Oh, touchdown. Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to see Razor tonight?
Megan, what do you have to plug?
I'm Megan. I am a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Amram, and I wrote a book called Science for Her.
It's great.
It's a female science textbook for our little brains. Kevin is reading it very quickly right now. He just finished it. That's awesome. And that's in stores.
I give it 10 out of 10 beakers.
Oh, ooh. Science. So fun.
Right? Cool. Well, now we've come to the end of the episode. Megan, thank you so much for joining us. I had
such a blast.
This has been a blasty blast, hasn't it? Really?
Thank you. I'll let you guys know. I would like to come on back on anytime there's a one-woman show or like any Broadway references, if you want me to be like a correspondent.
There is a episode that has to do largely, this is true, that's to do largely with an elementary school production of Fiddler on the Roof.
That is so awesome.
That is right up your alley.
I for real would like to okay, come yeah. back.
Okay. All right.
We'll
great.
Do it.
Great.
All right. Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us. And I don't know if you know the theme song to this TV show. I don't know if it matters because it doesn't matter if the words are right or the lyrics are right.
It's what's in your heart.
It's mm-hmm. what's in your heart if that's right. But if what's in your heart is like flat or is like a little half key, mm-hmm. that's not right.
Yeah, harmonize with your heart.
Yeah, try to harmonize as best you can. But yeah, anyway.
Out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train where you lead. I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, 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 ow. Where you lead.
Yeah,
I will follow.
Oh, you just get in here.
By George, I think she's gone
tell me to. Follow.
Thank you, Megan.
I like that song.
Goodbye.
Thank you.